Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Suffolk Downs is getting a second chance to push for a casino.
The proposal looked dead in the water last month after East Boston voters soundly rejected putting a casino in their backyard. But Suffolk Downs regrouped and is now pursuing a casino built entirely on its property in neighboring Revere.
Yesterday, the State Gaming Commission gave Suffolk Downs more time to hash out its new Revere-only proposal, which is expected to be up for a vote in February.
Which means that opponents are gearing up for another battle, and elected officials in both Revere and East Boston are trying to negotiate new agreements to lessen the impact of a casino at Suffolk Downs.
Joining us now is John Ribeiro, chair of Repeal the Casino Deal, an organization that's pushing for a ballot question that would repeal the casino law. Hi, John, and thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And John, yesterday the Gaming Commission's decision to extend this deadline to tweak the regulations was a surprise to many people. What was your reaction when you heard about what the commission did?
Well, we believe that the commission, you know, basically created a new status for Suffolk Downs. They're not an entirely new proposal, nor are they the proposal that went before the voters back on November 5th. So they've been given a special status by the Gaming Commission.
And what are your thoughts about that? What do you think about that special status?
Well, I think they've clearly broken, in our opinion, both the law and their own rules. The law says that you've got to set up a process to give out these licenses, and everybody needs to abide by the same process. And at the same time, they've broken their own rules, which said that the application needed to be complete by December 31st. They're clearly just paving the way for a casino over at Suffolk Downs.
So what is your group plan to do now? Because I assume you still oppose that idea.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I live in Winthrop, and this really kind of highlights the problem with the law that says that, you know, that the impacts, negative impacts, stop at the border of the host community. This is moving 1,000 feet down the road, and the people in East Boston and neighboring communities are going to be impacted regardless. So we've been in contact with folks in Revere throughout this process and the opposition, on the side of the opposition, and we're going to continue to help them organize and turn the vote around the next time it comes up.
But the last time Revere voted, it approved the casino plan at Suffolk Downs in East Boston by 61%. That's a pretty healthy majority. What do you think your shots are at changing the outlook of voters?
Well, all we need to do is ask the folks that voted no against the casino to bring one additional friend with them to the ballot box. They had a fairly low turnout. I can't remember the exact percentage off the top of my head. Apologies. But the no side is going to be highly energized this time around. They may have sat home for a number of reasons, maybe thinking it was a done deal, maybe thinking that if East Boston beat it, which the opposition was very vocal and active, that it would have gone away. Mm-hmm. But clearly they need to step up now, and they're energized to organize their community and stop this casino once and for all.
If the vote happens in February, though, this can be a tough month to get out and vote if it's snowing. There's also some election fatigue settling in after a lot of special elections. Do those feel like big hurdles to you?
They do, but we've faced big hurdles through this entire process. Nobody thought that we could defeat casinos in East Boston and Palmer and Milford, but we've done it right along. And when you count all of the communities around the state that rejected casinos even before getting to the referendum process, the tide has certainly turned against casinos in Massachusetts. And now that the folks in Revere are faced with the prospect of having it entirely in their community, having all of the impacts on their roads, I think they're ready to come out and vote against it.
What may be enticing to Revere voters, though, is the financial compensation that would come along with having a casino. East Boston had negotiated $50 million a year. As a so-called neighboring community, Revere was going to get $9 million a year. It will obviously be a lot more than that if they're the host community. How do you think you get voters not to be persuaded by that kind of influx of money?
Well, that certainly is a huge carrot. But when what we've seen around the state is when you can have an open and honest debate about the issues and the problems that come along with casinos, people reject them outright. And that there's a reason why this is called a mitigation package, and it's because of all the problems that are coming along with it. Mitigation means they're going to lessen the impact of these potential problems. And it's just our responsibility to get out there and highlight what those problems are going to be.
So give me a sense of what your campaign pitch will be, in a sense. How do you want to persuade people this is not good for Revere?
Well, in every community where they've implemented casinos around the country, crime goes up significantly. There's an example down in Queens, New York, where they have a similar situation, a racetrack that's there. Within 3 months, they saw crime go up 40% in the area. In every single community, small businesses are negatively impacted. Small businesses around casinos close. We've seen that in Niagara Falls, New York, where it's a huge tourist destination, but then immediately around the casino area there, small businesses are boarded up. And property values go down. Chairman Crosby recently said on television, when asked, do you want to live near a casino? He said no, because of the property values. Once people learn these facts, they come to their senses and they reject casino proposals.
John, you have another hurdle, which is that you have to convince the state's highest court, which now has before it an argument by the state attorney general that the ballot question to repeal a casino is unconstitutional. You have to convince the Supreme Judicial Court it's constitutional. What happens if you don't win?
Well, if we don't win at the Supreme Judicial Court, but we do feel that we have a very strong legal footing there. If you'll recall, back in 2008, Greyhound Racing was put up to a ballot question. The Attorney General allowed that to go forward. The state owned the dog tracks. They sued the state, and the Attorney General was forced to defend her decision, and the Supreme Judicial Court stood with the Attorney General and allowed the people to decide on that. I think that they'd be overturning their own ruling in that case if they were not to allow us to go forward. So I think, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it, but we're not going to stop even if we are defeated or lose at the SJC.
That's John Ribeiro. He's chairman of Repeal the Casino Deal. John, thanks for talking with us.
Thanks, Ashley. Bye-bye.
As Tom Menino prepares to leave City Hall next month, he's been on something of a goodbye tour in the city he's led for the past 20 years. Yesterday, he gave his final official speech as mayor to the Boston Chamber of Commerce.
The man who earned a reputation as the always visible urban mechanic talked about sharing his final Christmas season as mayor with the people of Boston.
You know, I spent last weekend lighting 17 trees around our city. It was fun. I talked with thousands of people. There was even one person I met I had never met before. And I said to him, I said, where have you been? You must be in a cocoon someplace.
Menino did get serious when he reflected on how Boston has changed over the last two decades. It's gone from majority white to a majority minority city, and it's experienced declining crime rates and increasing graduation rates.
He also had a tough message for Boston's business leaders when he talked about Boston as a city of growing economic disparity.
More of the same, even a good same, won't be enough. You, the partners in the business community, will need to see that it's in your interest, too. The city isn't a place divided. You aren't talking about this in your boardrooms. You should be. You aren't worrying about what it means for your workforce, your customers. You are missing the boat. If you don't think a new generation of division will change the city, you haven't looked around the world, where deep inequalities breed deep distrust. This year, Boston's business community has taken the lead on achieving pay equity for women. I hope you'll see extreme inequalities in the same light. A city only works when it works for everyone.
Tom Menino speaking yesterday in his final speech as mayor of Boston to members of the city's Chamber of Commerce.
Stay with us. Up next, we'll talk about the blade-wielding octocopter that could someday deliver your Amazon purchases. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.